easy to drift along day after day, not ever realising that we're on a gentle downward slope until it's too late. But the beauty of God's grace is that it's never, ever too late to change things. It's never, ever too late to turn your life around. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series called Defining Moments, looking at those moments, as trivial as they may seem sometimes, that God brings along that end up changing the course of our lives. So let's do it. Let's head into God's Word, and do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw ever closer to Jesus and walk in the victory that He died and rose again to give you. The thing about life is that it seems to just crank along day after day. Get up, have a shower, have breakfast, hit the commute, go to work, come home, do the TV, go to bed, get up. You know the routine. 99.9% of life seems to be everyday mundane realities, punctuated, granted, with the odd high and low. And the more we live that same old, the more we become accustomed to that reality. We get used to it. For many people, there's a dull ache in their hearts. For others, there's this sense that there has to be something more. You know, I work in God's service in full-time ministry. And every Sunday evening, I talk with my mother on the phone. It's our little routine. And she asks me, Bernie, what's been going on in your life? I'm your typical male. I say, well, Mum, you know, it was kind of the same as last week. Nothing particularly new. Same old, same old. And it's true. The problem is, for so many, many people, this same old routine is about drifting away from God. It's about living out a busy life and just struggling to get by and consuming mountains of drivel from the TV that, well, we forget what life's all about. And before we know it, God seems like, well, it seems like He's just a million miles away. Have you ever felt that in your life? You know, you can even be on holidays, having a great vacation somewhere with time on your hands, and yet it still feels like God's a million miles away. There's a reason for that. There is. And today on the program, we're going to discover the reason and the remedy. This is the last in a series of four messages that I've called Defining Moments. We're going to have a look at a king in Israel's history, a man named Josiah, to discover what is the reason and the remedy. But before we look at Josiah, we need to have a look at his grandfather and his father, because his grandfather and father, Manasseh and Amon, those two guys are the reason. And through Josiah's life, through a defining moment in his life, we discover the remedy. See, Manasseh and Amon, we can see through them how we can drift away from God, just through little compromises, it seems at first, until life itself is at stake. And through Josiah, what we're going to see is how easy it is to turn that around. Now, I just want to position where this story comes in Israel's history. God first engaged with His chosen people through Abraham, and Abraham had a son called Isaac, and Isaac had a son called Jacob. And Jacob had 12 brothers, one of whom was Joseph of Technicolor Dreamcoat fame. And these were the 12 tribes of Israel, and they grew into this massive nation. And for 400 years, they were kept in Egypt as slaves. And eventually, God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. And that happens through a series of miracles. And then around about 1280 BC, the Exodus begins. You know, 40 years in the desert. They end up in the promised land. And there's a period of judges until Saul becomes king in around 1050 BC, followed by King David and then King Solomon. But after Solomon's reign, Israel splits in two. The 10 northern tribes are called Israel, and the 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, are referred to as Judah. And that happens around 930 BC. All along, Judah struggles with God. And remember the first two commandments that God gives to his people. You can read them in Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 2. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of their parents to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. See, God's pretty clear. God is saying, I'm your God. I'm the one that took you out of slavery. I must be first in your life. And that's what God's people struggled with. They had some good kings and they had some really bad kings. They had their ups and they had their downs. Fortunately, God is slow to anger, but they were testing his patience. We pick up this roller coaster ride of Israel with these two kings, Manasseh and his son Amos. The name Manasseh means to cause forgetfulness, and that was so apt because under his rule, God's people forgot to put God first. Pick it up. If you've got a Bible, open it. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 33, beginning at verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did what was evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominable practices of the nations whom the Lord drove out before the people of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places that his father Hezekiah had pulled down, and erected altars to the Baals, and made sacred poles, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven, and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, In Jerusalem shall my name forever be. He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He made his son pass through fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom, practiced soothsaying and augury and sorcery, and dealt with mediums and wizards. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking God to anger. The carved image of the idol that he had made he set up in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will never again remove the feet of Israel from the land that I appointed to your ancestors, if only they will be careful to do all that I have commanded them, all the law, the statutes, and the ordinances given through Moses. Manasseh misled Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem so that they did more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the people of Israel. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and to his people, but they gave no heed. And it was exactly the same with his son Amon. 2 Chronicles chapter 33, beginning at verse 22. Amon too did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. Amon sacrificed to all the images his father Manasseh had made and served them. He did not humble himself before the Lord, as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. By this, Amon incurred more and more guilt. Can I tell you, this is not just Israel's problem, it's our problem. Things just creep in, don't they? Well, Dad did it that way, everybody else is doing it that way, let's just go with the flow. And so Manasseh was defeated by the Babylonians in battle, and Amon was murdered by his servants. Going with the flow, with popular public opinion, seems really easy. It's so acceptable to everyone around us, isn't it? But going with the flow, going with the flow has consequences.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. As we take this short break, I'd like to tell you about a free daily resource that I'd love to send you to help you draw closer to God. It's called Fresh, a short daily devotional with a powerful scripture verse and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. And it's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through His Word. So let's dive back and look at the next king, a young lad, as it turns out.
As you and I can plainly see, Manasseh and Amon made a hash of things, and they kindled God's wrath. You know, one of the things we see a bit of in the Old Testament is God's wrath. But it always comes after he's tried talking sense into his people first. And it always, always involves redemption. God's wrath always involves bringing his people back to him. It's about bringing them to their senses and calling them back to himself. So these two kings of Judah, Manasseh and Amon, they blew it. Now what comes next? Well, what comes next is a young boy with a right heart. Join me as we take a look. If you've got your Bible, get it open at 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Josiah, Amon's son, Manasseh's grandson, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his ancestor David. He didn't turn aside to the right or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still a boy, he began to seek the God of his ancestor David, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all those high places and sacred poles and carved and cast images. In his presence they pulled down the altars of the Baals. He demolished the incense altars that stood above them. He broke down the sacred poles and the carved and the cast images. He made dust of them and scattered it over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and purged Judah and Jerusalem. In the towns of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon and as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all round, he broke down the altars, beat the sacred poles and images into powder, and demolished all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Now get this. Josiah is 8 years old when he becomes king. Do you remember how mature you were when you were 8 years old? Yeah, right. And in just another 8 years, when he was 16 years old, at a time when most of us were being precocious, painful, petulant teenagers, this child king decided it was time to turn things around. Now, it mustn't have been easy. Sure, he was the king, but look at what happened to his old man. Amon was murdered by his own courtiers. Now, in this country, everyone was worshipping idols. Everybody. It was the culture. It was the way of life. Powerful people, rich people, poor people, they were all worshipping idols and offering up to other gods. And this young 16-year-old Josiah didn't just say to his people, no, 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 it's wrong, don't do it. He had his army destroy their places of worship. He travelled through the land, he executed the priests of these false gods, and he made it clear that the king was not going to tolerate God's chosen people doing exactly the thing that God had told them not to do. And he even takes the sacred poles and the images and the idols, and he reduces them, he pounds them into powder. See, Josiah is swimming against the tide. He's going against the flow. And that always takes courage. Perhaps life's been drifting along for you and you've been going the easy road, just the way everyone else is going. Not in every area of your life. I still go to church. I still believe in God. No, those things are still there. But in those hidden areas of life, how you spend your money or where you place your priorities, that's what this is about. Who or what comes first in our hearts and our lives, God or someone or something else? Listen to Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 12. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take that. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. It's so easy, isn't it, to just go with the flow on that gentle downward slope. Doing what Josiah did takes a bundle of courage and resolve. And I believe there are few people today who need that courage and that resolve, and that's something we can't do for ourselves. That's something that comes by the power of God's Spirit when we take in his word. So Josiah prepared to go against the flow. It was risky, it was dangerous. He wouldn't have endeared himself to the people, but he did it anyway. Now have a look at what happens next. This is the defining moment. It's a moment from God. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 8. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan and the son of Azaliah and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. They came to the high priest, Hilkiah, and delivered the money that had been brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers of the threshold, had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, and from all of Judah and Benjamin, and from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They delivered the money to the workers who had oversight of the house of the Lord, and the workers who were working in the house of the Lord gave it for repairing and restoring the house. They gave it to carpenters and builders and quarriers and timber for binding and all sorts of stuff. The people did the work faithfully. Now, while they were bringing the money out that had been brought into the house of the Lord, the priest Hilkiah found the book of the law of the Lord given to Moses. And Hilkiah said to the secretary Shaphan, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king, "All that was committed to your servants, they are doing. They've emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord. They've delivered it into the hand of the overseers and the workers." And the secretary, Shaphan, informed the king, "The priest, Hilkiah, has given me this book." And Shaphan then read it out aloud to the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and the secretary Shaphan, and the king's servant Asaiah, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us is great, because our ancestors did not keep the word of the Lord to act in accordance with all that is written in that book." Now, we're going to look at what all that means in a moment when we come back from this break.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. I just want to take a moment during this short break to share something truly important with you. In the middle of the ordinary, the mundane, the unfair even, right in the middle of life, so often God's defining moments appear, seemingly small and insignificant things that can change the course of our lives, and it's so easy for us to miss them. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called Turning Mistakes into Miracles. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you grab a hold of God's defining moments in your life. In fact, at the end of each chapter, you'll find a series of life application questions to help you think through and apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. It really is that easy. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so don't miss out. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. So let's head back into God's Word now.
Isn't that amazing? Josiah, while he's going about God's business, stumbles across the Word of God. It's hidden. God's people had even forgotten about God's Word. No wonder things were such a mighty mess. I liken this to the person today who has a Bible, but it's kind of stuffed up somewhere in the top level of their wardrobe in the bedroom, gathering dust. The living Word of God, God's love letter to you and me, gathering dust, lost, forgotten. And we wonder why our lives are in a mess. Can you believe this? The chief priest has lost God's Word. There are plenty of people who claim to be Christians. So many of them have lost God's Word. Man, how do we expect to live in God's blessing, in God's abundance of life, if when he's trying to speak to us, we leave him up on the shelf? Come on, wake up. Josiah's defining moment is his reaction. When he discovers that God's Word has come out of the temple, he is distraught. He tears at his clothes. Despite all the great things this young king has been doing, he's beside himself that he's been missing out on God's Word. See, it's only now he's hearing from God when his secretary started reading out of God's Word. He's realizing for the first 26 years of his life, he hasn't really known what God's will is. So he takes some action. He sends his people to one of God's prophets to inquire of God, God, what does all this mean? What do we do now? Where do I go from here? Let's take a look. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 20. Then the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam son of Shaphan and Abdon the son of Micah and the secretary Shaphan and the king's servant Asaiah, go and inquire of the Lord from me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us is great because our ancestors did not keep the word of the Lord to act in accordance with all that is written in that book. So Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to the prophet Huldah, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tokath, the son of Hasrath. Boy, mouthful, huh? Keeper of the wardrobe who lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and spoke to her to that effect. And she declared to them, she said, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, I will indeed bring disaster upon this place, upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, they have made offerings to other gods, so that they have provoked me to anger with all the works of their hands. My wrath will be poured out on this place, and it will not be quenched. But as to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord your God, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard. Because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me and you have torn your clothes and you have wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. I will gather you to your ancestors and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see the disaster that I will bring on this place and its inhabitants. They took that message back to the king. And that disaster is exactly what happened. We haven't got time to go there now, but that's what happened. You can read for yourself that Josiah caused God's people to celebrate the Passover and to honor their God, and he was spared. He died, and then a few generations on, the Babylonians came and overran Judah. They destroyed the temple. Jerusalem was razed to the ground, and they took all the people, God's people, out of the promised land to Babylon into 70 years of slavery and captivity. But Josiah didn't suffer those consequences because he heard the word of God, and what? He repented. All those great things beforehand that he did, they were truly wonderful. They showed his heart. But when he heard the tough things in the word of God, he sought out God and he set his nation on a different course despite the mixed blessings that the prophet spoke of. God's word is God speaking. God's word speaks of life, abundant life into our hearts. God speaks the truth. He speaks love and grace and mercy through his word. And yes, sometimes God's word is God speaking some tough things into our lives, calling us to completely turn around. God's word completely turns our world upside down because God's word is about putting God first in our lives, not ourselves. God is calling us to die in order that we might live. And none of us wants to die. None of us want to give up this rubbish that we're clinging on to for dear life. But God is calling us to open his word, the Bible, and hear him speak. And the defining moment in the life of Josiah was when he discovered the word of God and he tore his clothes because he realized he'd lived the first 26 years of his life not hearing from God. And he turned back to God and he turned his whole nation back to God. And no matter how far you and I have drifted away, if you're hearing this message today and you feel God's Spirit putting his finger on a place in your heart and you sense his conviction, if you're reacting right now the way Josiah was reacting, deep distress, listen again with me to God's word about this place you're in right now. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you have heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before God as you hear my words and you have humbled yourself before me now and are tearing at your clothes and weeping in your heart before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. This is a powerful thing because God is a God who restores. God is a God who calls us back. And when we turn back to him, having drifted away, having taken the easy road, having just dawdled along with public opinion and done it easy. When we finally come to our senses, when we hear the word of God as you and I have heard it today, and we turn our lives back to Him, that's the defining moment. That's when God changes everything.
That's pretty much all we have time for today. Before I go, there's something very important that I'd like to share with you. Our passion here at Christianity Works is to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer in a rich, dynamic relationship with Jesus. So let me encourage you to check out the treasure trove of practical, relevant, and life-changing Bible teaching available at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. It's full of free resources to help you draw closer to God. You can dive into the Media Lounge to watch our weekly Christianity Works television broadcast or the daily fresh devotional videos. Everything's been conveniently categorized so that you can filter the content to quickly lay hold of just the teaching that you need for whatever you're going through today. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact in your life to bring you His joy, His peace, and His power. So go on, head across to our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time next week, with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.